Welcome to another episode of Congo Kids Life Stories, where I share my experiences of growing up in the Congo in Central Africa. My hope is you find knowledge, entertainment, information, and insight of another culture and a new perspective of the Congolese people and Africa. When one hears about someone being sent to a boarding school, normally two things come to mind. The first thought is rich kids that wear uniforms and preppy jackets with a cool little crest on the lapel at an elite school in the Northeast. Their parents are captains of industry or who come from old money. These kids are considered elite and often go on to attend Ivy League schools and are a far cry from the common middle-class folks in America. The second group that many think of is missionary kids whose parents are serving in South America, Asia, or Africa. In this case, these kids are not from rich parents, but rather very low-income parents who are serving in difficult circumstances with tough living conditions and are separated from their parents by necessity, not by choice. The parents are serving God through a mission organization and need to have a venue to properly educate their children, so off to a boarding school they go. I will be sharing about my experience and that of many kids that went to boarding school for their formative years, as well as from parents who sent their kids away for their education. My goal and purpose for sharing these experiences is to help foster an honest conversation between parents and children about the boarding school experience. Then they can reflect on those experiences and the impact, good or bad, that it had on the child's life. There will be 5 episodes in this series. Part 1 will lay out the dilemma of the issue of the struggle parents went through. They had to follow the call to mission service, knowing there would be a sacrifice by sending their kids away to a boarding school. Not being part of their child's everyday life was heart-wrenching for many parents serving in Congo while their kids were away at the dorm. And the impact on the child, especially young children, will be touched on. Episode 2 will set the stage and dynamics of the school we went to called the Ubangi Academy, or UBAC for short. UBAC was located at Karawa in the Democratic Republic of Congo. It will also explain the culture of the dorm life, provide an overview of the dorm family's activities, the hierarchy of the boys' hall and girls' hall, and the subcultures. There were pressures to conform to the social ecosystem, and the academics were tough. In preparation of this series, I interviewed several kids so you'd hear firsthand about their experience of living in a dorm environment. Having structure, a large group of people to grow up with, attend school with, and do life with brought about so many rich experiences. It also brought challenges for some of the kids. I also interviewed several sets of parents that sent their kids away and discussed how they prepared their children for that and dealt with being separated from their children during their formative years. In addition, I sent out surveys to numerous folks that attended UBAC and to parents that sent their kids away for their reactions to the dorm experience. Their feedback will be woven into the script and storyline of all the episodes in this series to add a richer and broader perspective. The third episode will share the point of view from parents and what they did to mitigate the separation with their nuclear family and how they tried to maintain as normal a family dynamic as they could. They struggled to reconcile serving God's call to the mission field with the challenge of separating their family for months at a time. Interviews with multiple parents that sent their kids off to UBAC will be shared to articulate their challenges and struggles and how they maintained their family dynamic in spite of the distance. Then, there were the dorm parents. These folks worked tirelessly to provide structure, discipline, food, housekeeping, and love to 30 to 50 kids each year. Dorm parents were a special people with a passion for service to care for the children of others. Some did a better job than others. Some connected better with the children and their emotional needs than others. This third episode will also share thoughts from dorm parents and how they dealt with raising their nuclear family with another 30 to 40 kids to care for. An interesting dynamic indeed. In episode 4, the impact of being a young child being sent away from their parents to live in a dormitory setting will be discussed, the pros and the cons. Children who were sent off to the dorm will be interviewed to explore the good and the not-so-good of being a boarding school kid at UBOC. Furthermore, how the dorm experience affected the parent-child relationship during their critical growing up years and then into adulthood will also be shared. I expect this episode to be very moving when you hear about the heartache of homesickness, the coping mechanisms of all the kids, especially the younger ones, in dealing with loneliness, adapting to a new dorm environment, and the entire structure of the institution. Yet, many friendships and good life qualities were learned at the dorm. It was almost a second family of sorts, with so many friends, both boys and girls, beyond one's normal nuclear family of brothers and sisters. The final episode in the series, the fifth, will be a breakdown and analysis of the entire situation. I will share the takeaways, the lessons learned, and try to articulate the realities and impact for the parents and the kids. This episode will hopefully lay out the truth of the dorm experience, open some buried hurts and trauma from the kids to help bring healing and acceptance, as well as awareness to the parents of these issues. In addition, maybe current or future missionaries heading to the mission field that need to send their kids to a boarding school will be more prepared and understanding of the obstacles they and their young children will face, and be able to mitigate some of those things. Here is the story of deciding to do this topic. I was on a business trip to Florida about 4 years ago and met my parents for dinner, as they are retired living in Sarasota. We were talking about topics for my budding podcast career, and I said I was kicking around an idea of doing one about the dorm life, boarding school, and the impact it had on child-parent relationships. After listing out a few ideas for the topic, my dad shook his head, looked at me very seriously, and simply said, "Don't go there." I asked why, and he just repeated, "Don't go there." Cue the 5-second pregnant pause button. I had certainly struck a nerve, so let it go, but continued to ponder it for a while. But I knew it would be controversial and possibly dangerous territory to bring up things to parents that were now in their golden years and having them rethink their decisions or face some facts that they didn't want to hear. Also, what about the dorm kids that dealt with growing up in a dorm situation, experienced separation anxiety and loneliness issues, and maybe even emotional trauma from being shipped away? Many I know engaged coping mechanisms to deal with it as children. I know I did. Some of those coping mechanisms I still use today. Many, too, carried that into their adulthood and have gone to counseling to move past it. And in a few cases, I know of folks in their 60s that have buried that time period of their life so far and deep in their minds that they don't want to revisit it ever. I knew it was a topic filled with controversy and landmines, so sat on the idea and pursued numerous other podcast topics to share about over the past 4 years. But in the fall of 2023, I began to reconsider. I shared the idea over dinner in Daytona Beach with Pete Ekstrand. I've known Pete for 40 years, and he's been on multiple episodes of my podcast. He said,
"Do it."
So to get started, I pulled out the 1994 doctoral thesis that Doug Thorpe had written. I'd read it back in the 1990s and still had a copy. The thesis was about the UBOC experience and how growing up in a boarding school setting versus a nuclear family impacted one's self-identity and development. The theme is boarding the self. So in January 2024, I reread his thesis. Numerous topics and points were in there that matched some of the things I was hoping to discuss and explore in this podcast series. I took 7 pages of notes from his thesis. Then I discussed the idea further with some people I respect and who follow my podcast. I gave my rough outline of the series. I laid out my objective and message, and all said, "Absolutely do it." So I spread my net out a bit more to a few others to get their thoughts on my tackling this topic. Just in my discussions with maybe 7 or 8 people about my idea to take on this topic for a podcast series, I discovered that only one person had discussed the dynamics of the boarding school experience with their parents. These peers in my youth are now in their 50s, 60s, and even 70s, and many are still carrying unresolved pain and child separation issues. There are kids I grew up with that will not come on this podcast, even with the veil of anonymity, as it would hurt too much to revisit their dorm experience from their childhood. What does that tell you? Even fellow classmates won't talk to me on the phone or correspond on email, as the overall memory of UBOC and the dorm so many years ago is something they don't want to revisit. I understand that and respect that. In some cases, the parents have passed away, and in other cases, the parents are well up in years. Why has this not been talked about? Is this sensitive or taboo? Could it be that parents serving God haven't considered the potential damage and impact of sending their boy or girl away for months at a time and just don't know to talk about it and to hear the truth? How can discussion and understanding of the tough decisions that parents had to make be shared with their children to heal any hurts? What to do to encourage the sharing of the experiences from both sides to reach understanding and restoration? While many want to assume that all turned out okay, how can dialogue begin for mutual understanding? I want to be very clear at the front end of these episodes. There will be topics and subjects and points made that many parents don't want to hear, as they have probably reconciled their family decisions from 40 or 50 years ago and don't want to disrupt that. There will be points and memories that children who attended the dorm don't want to be reminded of: family separation, homesickness, loneliness, being bullied, lack of a parent for support, and forced independence, as they too have worked through that as they grew into adults and now have a child-parent relationship established. And having these difficult memories and thoughts come up again may change that. Exhibit A is the list of fellow classmates that won't even have a phone call with me. Numerous people, both fellow UBOC students and parents that sent their kids away, don't want to talk with me, much less be formally interviewed. So is that the elephant in the room I've discovered? Could it be that many folks don't want to talk about it, kids nor parents? Are families going through their lives assuming that the parents weren't hurt and the kids weren't hurt, and neither dares inquire about it and have an honest conversation? I'm sure no parent wants to hear about a painful experience their child endured and has lived with for 30, 40, or 50 years, especially when the parent's life choice caused it. So how can this topic be broached to bring understanding for the family? And I'm sure boarding school attendees are hesitant to confront their parents at the end of their life to convey how the experience may have negatively impacted them. Or maybe the child felt it was just the way it was and accepted it for the benefit of their parents' mission ministry. That may be the case for numerous folks. Tough stuff indeed. Well, it's time to get this subject on the table and talk about it. My other goal is to challenge the mission boards to look hard at the model they created on our mission field and its effects. I would be curious as to how much research was done to determine the impact to the missionary family with a boarding school model. Did they objectively consider the short-term and long-term effects of the parents and children, especially the young children? Did they consider homeschooling or correspondence courses? I mean, Bob Thornbloom in the 1940s and 50s did correspondence courses for his schooling. Then, in college, he attended a top-tier engineering school and did just fine. Having two mission boards, the Evangelical Free Church and the Evangelical Covenant Church, pool resources to create a school and dorm situation so that the kids of missionaries serving in pastoral work, medical, teaching, and other support ministries could get a first-class education was very important for all concerned. It also allowed both parents to focus full-time on their ministries. This was mission work that people stateside were supporting in a financial way, so this made for a more effective ministry. Logistics, time, and training wasn't conducive for homeschooling in most cases. Nor had homeschooling gained much traction back in the 60s, 70s, and even 1980s. Had it, kids could have grown up under their parents' roof. Their full identity of being an Eales or Wester or Hegel or Lundquist or Carlson or Bradford or Aiken would have been manifested as their parents intended. The setup in the Ubangi area was to have several larger stations and quite a few distant stations with just a family or two in certain cases, not conducive for homeschooling or supporting a teacher. So, off to Ubok it was. Nor is my intent to heap questions on or challenge the parents for having to choose God and mission work over their nuclear family. I know all the parents struggled with this dilemma. I'm hoping to understand how parents came to terms with all of this and to understand what the children went through. While my parents' generation looked differently at raising children, I can't imagine shipping my 7-year-old daughter or son away for 10 weeks at a time with no direct contact. No way would I have done that. Even now, in 2024, with texting, email, cell phones, and video calls, would I ever think of doing that to my 7-year-old child? Maybe that sentiment is partially due to my being raised in a boarding school setting. So while parents chose to leave their family and homeland for Congo, it was much more difficult for parents to send their child away. I remember when my family found out we were going to be reassigned to Gemena, 2 hours away from Karawa, where Ubok was located. Our family was in Brussels, Belgium, learning French at the time. Around January 1970, we got a letter from headquarters notifying us that Dad was not going to be teaching the missionary kids at Ubok as he had his first term in Congo. Rather, he was going to be teaching Africans in a local high school in Gemena. I remember my mom crying at the news, realizing that in a few short months I'd be sent away and her nuclear family would be permanently disrupted with unknown issues unfolding, all out of her control and influence. Such were the consequences of being called to missions in Congo. Not easy. I've asked my folks, Roger and Sally Eales, to give their memory of having to send their kids to Ubok and their reflections of the entire dorm experience for their children as they observed it. Furthermore, they offer their reconciliation of balancing the call of mission with tending to their own family.
The purpose of Ubok was to provide a good environment and education in caring for the children in order that the parents could focus on their call to ministry in serving the Lord. Yes, we asked our sons if they had any problems at the dorm. We were always ready to help when we were aware of negative aspects for them. We, in our growing up years, had negative and unpleasant situations with our siblings, so having problems at a dormitory was normal, as we had had it in our growing up years. Your dad had his teaching role during those 2 weeks, but did not include the subs sometimes on his weekend. Did include the boys sometimes on his weekend village evangelism trips with his Congolese students, as well as encourage the subs to play sports, to do activities with the high school students, because we lived on the high school campus and it was so available. We believed that the dorm parents wanted to be there and loved and cared for each child and gave them a feeling of being home.
We didn't feel we put God ahead of our family. We believed that God called us and our sons to Africa, and so they were part of God's plan as well. Yes, it was a sacrifice to be separated those weeks at Ubok, but obedience to the Lord's calling was the bottom line. There was also a great sacrifice on our parents to have us leave for Africa, as well as our siblings. So the call to this ministry affected more than just our nuclear family, but also our entire families.
As they noted, there were sacrifices from numerous folks, all in the effort of spreading the gospel and serving the mission effort. This is something to keep in mind from a global perspective of this topic. Several years into our marriage, my wife and I considered joining the mission and serving in Congo. But one item to address was to homeschool our kids, as neither of us wanted to send our kids away. Being separated from our kids was a non-starter, so returning to Congo wasn't going to happen. I also recall discussing this issue with my folks in the late 1980s, and my mom told me, "Well, you went to the dorm and turned out fine, so what's the big deal? It's just the way it is." My response then was, "I did?" So when I brought this topic up again with my folks in January 2024 and shared I was going to do a series on it, I recounted this exchange from 35 years ago. I also told her that she had never asked me about my dorm struggles and assumed I turned out okay. After all, I was married with kids, financially stable, and not in trouble with the law. So from all outside appearances, I was fine. Yet, she had no idea of what I dealt with, especially as a little kid at the dorm. I then clarified that when she and Dad decided to go to Congo in 1964, they were adults, were called by God, and they made the decision to leave their parents, siblings, aunts, uncles, and cousins. They were choosing to leave. But I was a child in third grade, age 8, and I didn't have a choice to go to UBOC. I got sent, regardless if my folks didn't want me to go or were torn to send me away. They had to reconcile the balance of mission service and having their child partially raised in a group home called UBOC. So there's certainly a difference in a parent's perspective and a child's perspective. So while parents face the prospect of having to send their children away to school as part of being called to missions, the child didn't have a choice. Often, at varying ages, kids were dropped into the UBOC experience cold turkey and had to adapt with all that, and being without their parents' support. While some kids had a great experience, others were neutral, and some had a very difficult time there. This podcast series is not to celebrate those that thrived at the dorm and belittle those that struggled. Rather, my goal is to show the human dimension that indeed, all of us that went there lost a part of our family and personal identity by going. And our relationships henceforth were different because of growing up away from our parents. Now let's hear about the dorm experience from a kid's perspective. To help provide some insight, I've asked Jeff Aiken, who I've known since 1969, to share an overview of his experience at UBOC.
This is Jeff Aiken. This is just my memories and what impact the dorm had on me. Before I go into all of that, though, I want to share a story, a true story, of my more recent past. Shortly after I bought my boat here in Florida, I talked a fishing friend of mine into staying out past sunset and fishing till dark. We were on the Gulf of Mexico in central Florida, so it was big water. There was no moon. It was dark as dark can be. And when we finally called it a night, we discovered that my flashlights were woefully inadequate, and I could barely read my handheld GPS that I was counting on to get us back to the ramp. But it was now low tide, and what had been nice, clear, open water on our way out was now littered with rocks and breaking waves, and it was kind of intimidating. After we made it safely back to land and had the boat on the trailer, I commented on how cool I thought that had been, and I was kind of pumped. He, on the other hand, said he had no interest in ever doing that again. Since that first night on Big Water, I have upgraded my gear and have made many, many great nighttime fishing trips. But my friend has never done that since, to my knowledge. My point is that two people can share the exact same event at the same time together and have vastly different responses and memories of that event. I first arrived at Karawa and UBOC in 1970 at the age of 10. I was going into fifth grade, and I had just completed a very difficult year in the public school system in Belgium. I was actually looking forward to a better school year with fellow Americans and speaking English. I had 5th, 6th, 7th grades at the dorm, and then 9th, 10th, and 11th grades there. 8th grade was in the States, and my senior year was in the States. 5th grade for me was by far the hardest. I was the only boy in a class with 4 girls. The 6th grade boys, my brother John and Rick Peterson, didn't have much to do with me, and I didn't have much to do with the quote-unquote little boys in Miss Blakeway's class. Although I remember being alone a lot, I seemed to have survived okay. Other than that rough first year, my overall experience and memories of my years there are positive. Not perfect, but very positive. Things that have had a lasting positive effect on me were the structure, regular schedule, healthy competition, and school and sports, and also in even my spiritual walk. These have all left their mark in positive ways. I learned so many life skills there: teamwork, tolerance, empathy, learning to love others and put them before myself. Also learning to forgive and forget. Responsibility, learning to think things through before taking action. Problem solving, making do with what you have. Contentment. Friday night games, Saturday chores, Sunday afternoon soccer games. Song night for devotions. Sunday night church. Sunday night figs. And yes, even some fun memories from class time with Miss Peterson, Miss Nelson, Mr. E, etc. But I would say most importantly, I laid the foundation for a lifetime of healthy spiritual discipline and disciplines, regular devotions, Bible reading, intercessory prayer, serving others, thanksgiving, forgiving, contentment, commitment to a local church body, regular giving. One question that is asked is, do I think my parents put God and mission work above their family? And my answer is yes, but in a very positive way. As Christ followers, we are all supposed to put God first and foremost, way above everything and everyone else. But we are also supposed to love and care for our family as God cares for it. It isn't supposed to be God or family, but God and family. Mom and Dad got that right with our family, and that has been a huge positive for me down through the years, even to this day. Did Mom and Dad like to send us away to school after just 2 weeks at home? I don't think so. At least I never felt that from them. Did they ever treat us like we were interrupting their work and not to bother them again? Again, I don't ever remember feeling that way. So for me, vacations were great. School was okay, and the dorm was my second family. My communications back and forth with Jeff have opened my eyes to how differently everyone's experience and memories are of their time at UBOC. Remember my fishing story. Same place, same time, same people, but very different memories. If I am a part of anyone's painful memories, I am truly sorry and I ask for your forgiveness. I don't remember specifically trying to hurt anyone, but that doesn't mean I didn't do so in spite of myself. So I'm sorry. One last thing that I do want to say is that 100% of my time at the dorm was with Uncle Bob and Aunt Ruth Ann Peterson as dorm parents. I always felt they saw being dorm parents as their mission and feel they did an amazing job managing a large and rambunctious extended family. But I also always felt like they truly cared about me and loved me as part of their extended family. Having that continuity and consistency and security played a big part in my overall very positive experiences and memories of my years at Ubongi Academy. I would have dearly loved to have graduated with my class, the kids I had grown up with, but God had other plans, and that is okay too. I graduated from Turlock High School in California, and I don't really have one single connection or feeling for my time there. I'm not sure exactly what I hope to have come from my musings, but it has been a fun walk down memory lane for me. Hopefully your trip back to UBOC brings back some great memories for you, and I pray that God and time will have healed any lingering hurts or wounds. I have always liked the Michael W. Smith song where he sings, "Life is hard, but God is good." Of course, he does it in French, and I'm not going there.
As noted, Jeff struggled initially, but managed to settle in and thrive, and left with considerable positive things he has taken throughout his life. I appreciate his point about different people at UBOC at the same time all had differing experiences. This could be due to age, personality, athletic ability, brains, maturity, and having siblings to support you. Quite a few folks have offered information to help me with input for this series from phone calls and emails. In addition, I've talked to numerous UBOC attendees, and the range of emotions and comments covers the entire spectrum. I will include some key examples of the experiences within the episodes, as well as share the undercurrents and themes from the input. Also, my own journey of navigating UBOC from age 8 till high school graduation will be woven into these episodes. So part one of this series sets the stage to understand the dynamics of the parent's decision, the challenges of being a young child being sent away, and poses some tough questions for the mission board and the parents to ponder. Other questions meant to open a dialogue and to be honest about the dilemma have been asked and will hopefully be answered in this series. If only one person talks to their parents or child and has an honest conversation about being sent to the dorm, and healing and restoration can occur, then the countless hours spent to put this podcast series together will be worth it. Or, if one person that went to UBOC unburies their hurts and trauma and gets it out, and gets help to process it and heal, then the effort of making this podcast series will be a success. I applaud both the Free Church Mission Board as well as the Covenant Mission Board. Both mission boards have committed to providing resources for counseling for those that choose to seek counseling to help them work through their childhood issues brought on by being sent to UBOC. I want to thank Roger and Sally Eels for providing their overview of the parents' perspective and Jeff Aiken for sharing a dorm attendee's perspective, which gives a taste of what else is coming in the next few episodes. I also want to thank my four advisors that are helping me with my script to ensure the message and content is on point for the benefit of creating dialogue, understanding, healing, and restoration of relationships where needed. That is the ultimate goal of this series. We have touched on various dimensions impacting both the parents and children with this mission work versus boarding school dilemma. To help set the stage for better understanding as we drill down into these issues, the next episode in this series will discuss the dorm and school experience, its daily routine, the academics, the relationships between child and dorm parents, and the culture and subcultures in the boys' hall and girls' hall. Episode 3 of this series will focus on the parents' perspective and the lens through which they look back while on the mission field with young children, and how they have reflected on that decision as they have aged and their children became adults. I will share interviews and audio clips from parents and will touch on their difficult decisions and how they reconciled their mission work at the expense of separating their families. This will be followed by episode 4, focusing on the kids' experience of dorm life, where I interview several kids, and you will hear numerous thoughts from the surveys from many others. Then the series will wrap up with episode 5 being a summary and takeaway from all that's been shared. Serving God on the mission field with the dilemma of balancing mission work, boarding school, and family is very complex, as you are hearing. I hope you will join me again as we dig further into this topic by listening to part 2 of this series titled The Boarding School Dilemma, Balancing Mission and Family, Understanding the Ubangi Academy Institution. So that concludes this episode. I hope you enjoyed it and will listen again. Other podcasts and blog articles on a variety of topics can be found at congokid.net. In addition, Congo Kids' life stories are also posted on Apple iTunes, Google Podcast, and Spotify. I'm Jeff Eels, a.k.a. Congo Kid, your humble host. Until next time, I will send you off with a farewell in Lingala. Baninganangai, tikalamalamu. My friends, stay well.